Ah, the sounds of back to school time. There's plenty to about this time of year. So let Canes take something off your plate by putting something on it, like hand-battered chicken fingers and cane sauce.
Raising Canes chicken fingers, one love.
Lincoln. Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break, presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Friday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen with you. Bill Bush had to depart. He'll be back on Monday. Hour 3 is sponsored by our friends at NEBCO. Now hiring at Ready Mix Concrete. Apply today at NEBCOinc.com.
The co.
The co. Thank you for the late tame down the co. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Couple things I want to get to in this hour. You guys are always welcome to call or text at 402-464-5685. I did see Nebraska made a list you don't want to be on. CBS Sports, Nebraska was, I think, number two in the most overrated teams the last 10 years in college football.
Yeah, we don't.
See that one?
Yeah.
Did you see it, though?
I did.
It came out yesterday.
God, I thought that came out earlier.
No, that was came out. There was one that came out, I think, by ESPN a couple days ago. This was from CBS Sports.
In the last 10 years?
Yes.
Kind of a no-brainer.
Is the most overrated of the past decade.
Yeah.
A&M number one.
Yeah.
Nebraska number two.
Yeah. I mean, at least you're rated.
It should say the most overhyped. It says the study of college football's 10 most overhyped teams over the last decade. Nebraska number two behind Texas A&M.
Reminds me of the time when Larry Florence walked by Vincent Hamilton.
Yeah.
And Vincent Hamilton was talking to a reporter, and the reporter informed Vincent that he was on a most overrated list. And Vincent's reaction was, "Overrated? I didn't even know I was rated." Vincent was a charming.
I wish I could have known Vincent. I loved Vincent because that was, as a kid, my favorite player was Vincent Hamilton.
He said, "Overrated? I didn't even know I was rated." Anywho,
it just points out in this, just to read this real quick, that it says it goes through the 10-year record, recruiting ranking average, losing seasons, record versus top 25, and playoff appearances, and average coach salary. So with all that, Nebraska.
Yeah.
Just if people don't know, Nebraska over the last 10 years, this is going to the first year of Mike Riley, or last year of Bo, I guess, 2014. 50 and 69 the last 10 years,
yeah.
Nebraska.
Yeah. That's not good. They should be on that list, and it's fine. I mean, it gets down to there's much more expected of a place like Nebraska than that, and there's much more expected of a place like Texas A&M than what they were. So it's all right.
Do you want to guess Nebraska's record against the top 25 over the last 10 years?
I know it's miserable.
Just take a guess.
Like 1-20?
Nope, they've got two. 2-28.
2-28.
2-28 the last 10 years against top 25 teams.
Yeah, it's got to start changing now pretty quick here. It's got to start
changing. How about this year? That'd be wonderful if that happened.
I mean, you could get Michigan this year. That would be a nice pelt.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I said the other day, I always dismiss the possibility of beating Penn State, but don't dismiss that. I mean, you can't dismiss it. We dismissed Ohio State last year as a chance for Nebraska to win, and they
Nebraska
about,
led in the fourth quarter of that game.
I'm interested in where else you want to go. There's a couple angles we could go.
Go for
here.
It. Yeah.
Well, we talked about the SEC going to 9 conference
games. I want to go there, yeah.
Okay, we can go there. We haven't talked about Pat Fitzgerald.
He got a lot of money. Was it $130 million?
You want to go there?
I think Pat Fitzgerald with $130 million.
So, yeah.
He walked away with yesterday.
It's a really interesting story. He settled a wrongful termination lawsuit with his former employer, Northwestern University, Terms were not disclosed. We don't know he got $130 million. He sued the school for $130
right,
million.
Correct.
And he settled. And then one, there's a couple interesting parts of this. His agent told Pete Thamel, Coach Fitzgerald is eager to resume his coaching career. So Fitz might be back.
A guy that you and I have argued over many times if he's a good coach or not. Or a great... I think you always thought he was a good coach. Yeah, we'd argue if he's a great coach or not.
I thought you kind of made him out to be Lombardi.
You've never pushed back at him being a good coach.
He's good. He had a nice run.
I thought at times he was certainly an upper echelon Big Ten coach.
Did you think that after he went 4-20 in his last two years?
He had a rough end to his tenure. And
rough doesn't really describe 4-20.
Okay, it's bad. Okay. He did beat Nebraska in Ireland and then lost 11 straight games that year, went 1-11. That was fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was a bad ending to a pretty successful tenure for Northwestern standards. He did make two title games.
I don't,
in the Big Ten.
No, you would rule. He did. You would rule out him going back to Northwest. Yeah,
yes.
He can't go back to Northwestern.
No. What you done? No. Well, yes, that's his alma mater. And he's still beloved by a lot of people.
Right. I don't think it's this crazy.
It'd be too awkward. He had a lawsuit out there for $130 million mm-hmm. against the school.
It's business.
I think that there'd be a lot of people that would welcome him back, saying, back, Pat. But mm-hmm. that's a lot of. You know,
acrimony.
Acrimony. It's wrongful termination for Pat Fitzgerald. I mean, it would not look right.
You're
for him.
Right. It's not happening. Okay, so Fitz.
But I do think he could be a power four head coach again.
100%. Now, but there is a conversation there. He was 117-110. That was his record. Great record at Northwestern. But you would have to deal with he was 4-20 in his last 2 years. You'd have to deal with that.
And he hasn't really dealt with the portal and NIL era either.
Right.
He got like the very start of it, maybe, and then but not to where it's at now.
I mean, I guess.
You don't get great players off the bat to Northwestern. It's a, they build players there.
Right. I had the wrong record. 110-101. 110-101, which is about what I said. 17 seasons with Northwestern. So,
developmental program is what's going on. Developmental school.
Yeah.
Northwestern.
Oh, he'd be, as critical as I've been of Fitzgerald, he's a viable candidate at a lot of places.
The thing with him is that he never got, again, this is credit to you, who has never been the biggest fan of him. He never got to the elite level. Yes, he won two divisions in the Big Ten. They never won a conference championship. Like, they had some good years, but like, if I am, for example, Mississippi State,
okay.
who has, Jeff Levy, they're going to have probably a bad year again and probably have to hire a new coach.
Have to move on.
Would he be on their radar if and when they move on from Levy?
You're smart. You follow college football.
He's developed, sir. He's never been a part of NIL and the portal.
Do you think Fitz would be a good fit in the SEC?
We've never seen it before.
Mississippi State doesn't line up for me with him. I think he's, God, I hate to say it. I think he's better than that. Now,
well, is Northwestern above Mississippi State?
Well,
in terms of academically, yeah, but not athletically.
In terms of just prestige as an institution, it's like Harvard compared to Mississippi
State. Okay, but what about like on the football field, though?
No.
Which is more prestigious.
But it's different. It's a different conversation. It's a way different conversation. Like what I'm getting at is, how about Fitz at Vanderbilt? That would look really good.
Or Fitz at Stanford.
Yeah.
Stanford's going to likely have a head coach.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, Stanford.
He'd fit well at Stanford.
That'd be one to watch, actually, I think. I think that'd be one to
watch. They just had a change at head coach with the situation off the field. And
here's the thing, though. I love these conversations. If you're Fitz, are you walking? Are you taking a Stanford job? Given all they have, I would say, severe financial issues in the athletic department. They're in the ACC. What? We're in the ACC. Are they going to be in the ACC? Is that?
Well, you have to ask yourself what's Fitz's goals in life? So, because for a long time, he had NFL rumors around him.
Okay? He did.
He could be the Packers head coach before they hired Matt LaFleur. It could be the Packers head coach. Mm-hmm. Like, does he have NFL aspirations? Pat Fitzgerald is a good motivator. He is a good coach. No one's ever called him a bad coach. He's not bad.
And I have
not. Is he great?
I have not.
Maybe not. Is he good? Yes, he's a solid head coach. Solid head coach.
50 years old. He's in his, I mean, you would
he's
think
still very young.
Coaching prime. So, this is going to be really interesting to watch. And his agent just said he's eager to get back into coaching. And I don't think Fitz is going to be a linebackers coach somewhere.
Well, then I ask you this then, too. What about the Big Ten?
Well, yeah. Wisconsin. How about Wisconsin? Well,
Fitz at Wisconsin right. would be awesome.
Right. It makes sense, right? It makes sense.
But would he make sense at Maryland if they fire Locksley there?
That's a good question. I'd say no. I don't know why, but my first reaction is no.
I don't get that either one either. Yeah.
It's just sort of a perception reaction. But no, I don't think Maryland would fit. Wisconsin would fit. More traditional.
But why do we keep putting him in, you know, if we say that Stanford's a great job for Fitz, why do we keep putting him in academic school? You said Vanderbilt's a good spot for him. Why is...
Because he's used to recruiting to a place where there's going to be some natural limitations, you know, where you can't get everybody in school, right? And Bill's talked about how hard it was, at least, to get into Wisconsin. We're leaving out a big one in this conversation. You know where I'm going in the Big Ten here?
That'd be Iowa?
Right. Good job, Jake. Yeah. How about Fitz in Iowa?
It'd be fascinating to see Fitz at Iowa.
Doesn't Fitz at Iowa make a ton of sense?
Oh, makes all the sense.
100%
makes
sense.
Didn't go there. He's not an alumni. Like a lot of guys out there are saying that they have, there'd be interest. But Fitz would be an awesome fit at Iowa.
Right. And we have butted heads on him. And I appreciate you acknowledging that I never said he was bad. I didn't like the portrayal.
I had him at a higher echelon than you did.
And then he went 4-20 and he dropped off.
And he just had a cocky smile after that.
Okay, then the question becomes, Jake, I got a question. What would Iowa fans say about Fitz? If his name popped on the radar, what would they do with that 4-20?
Good question. I mean, do you look over that and say that was a rough stretch, or just say, hey, that was an indicator how things could go in the NIL portal era for Pat Fitzgerald? Like, and that was very early on in this current mess, and it did not go well for Northwestern.
I mean, I would love to hear, for instance, what his agent would say to this conversation. His name is Brian Harlan, by the way. What would his agent say? What would Fitz say? I told you about that moment at Big Ten Media Days when Fitz just took me on. It was really, I've told you about that, right?
No.
When we were seated at the round table and, you know, it was only five or six people there and Fitz was there and I was asking questions and he shot my question down and it was really awkward. And you might say, well, no wonder you have this weird Fitz, anti-Fitz stance. Well, I was asking him a question. I said, hey, given your natural recruiting limitations, and he stopped me and he just said, what limitations? I said, well,
What year was this? Was this before you started giving him problems on the airwaves or not?
Yeah, it was. I can't remember.
So this is what caused you to change your stance. And
it was in Chicago. You would know this because it was when Big Ten Media Days was in Chicago.
In the dungeon, yeah.
Well, it wasn't in the dungeon. Yeah. Oh, it might have been that.
See, I never went to in Chicago without being in the dungeon.
What years was it in the dungeon?
Right before I went to Indianapolis. It was like 2019.
Yeah, it was around that time.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, 2019.
And he stopped me and said, what recruiting limitations? He didn't like that question, naturally.
How'd you fire back?
I said, well, I mean, just the academics and how hard it is to get in. He says, those aren't limitations. And he went on a pretty long spiel about why they weren't limitations. Because he doesn't want that limitations tagged to his program.
I get that.
But anyway, I'm with you. I guess what I'm telling you is I do respect Fitz because if he went to Iowa, my reaction, if I were a Nebraska fan, would be, oh, great. Great. Fitz is it. And I'm being sarcastic. It would be, that's trouble. Fitz is at Iowa.
You know where he really fits, though, also? And his job's not open. This is a guy that always is rumored to be moving somewhere else. But if Minnesota ever opened up, if Fleck moved on, there's one phone call and he stopped.
I think
Pat Fitzgerald saying, all right, we got our guy. Pat, come on down.
I don't, now,
that's the
on.
Guy.
I don't know that I'd go one phone call, but yeah, he'd definitely.
It's Gerald
in
Minnesota. Is like, that's a dream for them. That's a dream.
Yeah, it'd be.
No, you know who else? They like PJ though. I'm not like this. It's not like hey, they're. No, if PJ were to leave and go to a bigger job or the NFL or something like that, like they're not rushing him out of there by any means. PJ Fleck is very popular.
No, it'd be PJ going somewhere on his own volition.
Yes, not getting fired, but going up somewhere.
What about, but you know who's in that conversation too? Both, I'd say Iowa more than Minnesota's Lance Leipold. I mean, Iowa, I would think, would have design. If Lance throws a 9 out, you know, this year, he'll still be very viable in those conversations. Iowa would look at Lance.
Sure. Lance is what, 60?
60.
60 years, okay. Got a lot of years left.
Oh, yeah, he's young 60.
Yep.
So I don't know. The Fitzgerald conversation is, he said he settled mainly because it was so stressful on his family. I got the impression he had a long, did you see how long his statement was?
I did not read
it. I wouldn't even
statement.
Begin to try to read it on the air. It's 3 paragraphs long, and they're long paragraphs. Now, the interesting part, we should get into this a little bit. Now, there's a part of this. I'm interested what you think about this. Here's what he said, and I'll just let you respond. For the past 2 years, I've engaged in a process of extensive fact and expert discovery, which showed what I have known and said all along, that I had no knowledge of hazing ever occurring in the football program, and that I never directed or encouraged hazing. Now, this is what I want you to respond to. Through discovery, I learned that some hazing did occur in the football program at Northwestern. So he acknowledged that it happened, but he didn't know. See, I think that's, my opinion is that's damning. You're supposed to know.
You're the head coach.
Yeah. You didn't know hazing was going on? That's not, you didn't know they were drinking Coca-Cola after hours. I mean, there's hazing in your program.
Yeah, hazing isn't always, it's not usually happening at the field or at the locker room.
I think that's where.
Is that where the majority was there?
Yeah, there was some of that. They remember they had the car wash, shower.
I forget, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for Pat Fitzgerald this, but I don't know. But.
Well, no, you don't have.
You would think he would have some awareness, but again, that's the thing. Assumptions are dangerous.
Oh, real dangerous. But I'm just saying. So there's an admission that there was hazing and he didn't know. I think that's telling, and I'm not sure that's. You're supposed to know what's going on in your program. When coaches say "I didn't know,"
it's not a great look for him. But
right.
Would you rather him admit he knew or? Say just didn't know. What's the worst look for Pat Fitzgerald?
Well,
the worst is saying, yeah,
he didn't know.
About
I believe
it.
Him. I believe that. Let me ask you this. Do you believe he didn't know? That's the.
Again, I don't.
You'll never know.
I tell you, we'll never know. We'll never know.
No. But the whole thing is. It's going to get really interesting. And there's these other guys that are now think about it, Jake. What's happened in the last couple weeks? You see Jimbo out there saying, yeah, I'd like to coach again. You see Ed Orgeron.
Want back in.
Now Fitzgerald. See, all these guys that were out, they're positioning themselves. This is the, I guess this would be the time to do it, right? Right before the season. Get yourself in the AD's brains.
Yep.
Was there somebody else in there? Is Jimbo... Orgeron, now Fitzgerald's in that conversation. That's 3 pretty big ones, by the way. Real big ones. Those are mammoth names if jobs come open.
Got 2 national champions in there.
Yeah.
2 of those are the national championship head coaches.
Right. And Fitz is widely respected.
Very respected, yep.
So it could be
a fun offseason. So you got those names out there now. Let's see if anybody else pops up that's out of a job right now.
I think we're actually missing a name here, but those are the 3 that come to mind.
So we'll see where Fitzgerald ends up, if any, next year. John Gruden, the other name.
John Gruden.
Thank you, Joey, for that one.
Joey, thank you. How about that? Think about those names. Gruden, Fisher, Orgeron, Fitzgerald.
I would pray to see John Gruden in college football.
I mean, you talk about when the musical chairs start happening, how interesting that could get.
I'd love to see it. I'm all in.
I'm too.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
When we come back, let's have some beef jerky next on Early Break on the Ticket.
Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big.